Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yo guys, welcome to The Last Lap. Don't forget to drop a lovely, juicy 5-star rating if you're watching on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Hope you enjoy, and let's get into it.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Last Lap podcast. And before we get into it, we are, well, me and my co-host today, Niren, as always, we're not great, are we? We felt better.
We felt better. It's winter season.
It is.
The colds are out. The flus are out.
I've had this cough for about a week and a half, so it's not
I've
good.
I've had this cough for about a year.
Yeah,
we keep it moving.
Picture
that's
of
my gang.
Hopefully
my gang.
Today's guest, back again, Cameron. How are you feeling, mate? Are you feeling a bit
perkier? Positive.
Yeah. Yeah?
Positive. Looking to talk some 2023, mate. Raring to go.
Yes.
Raring to go.
It's 2023 predictions day today.
Oh.
Thought we'd get in early doors. We'll reflect on this video in a year's time and see who did well, who didn't do so well.
We can do a reaction to our predictions.
Exactly.
That's so content. There you go.
Cameron's bozo predictions.
And these predictions will not definitely, you definitely won't hold these against us. Long term.
Oh no, definitely not. No, I won't get tweeted about this in 9 months from now. Oh.
Absolutely not. So what we've done is we've come up with a few categories that we're going to go through one at a time. Mm-hmm. Starting with the kind of a bit more fun, a bit more out there, and then get into kind of top five, bottom five towards the end of the of the podcast.
The full nitty gritty towards the end.
Going to get a bit techie, I think.
It is going to get techie. Your couple fan bases might not be happy, mate, with this one. That's all I'm going to say.
That's why we brought you on, Cameron. That's why we brought you on. But we are starting with the first category in our 2023 F1 predictions. Mm-hmm. Is a simple yes or no answer.
Right, okay. That's what I love around here, to be honest with you.
Will Ferrari fuck up more or less than last season?
Oh, tough. God, this is a tough one, you know, as well.
Cutting straight into it.
Straight in there.
Will they fuck up more or less? Now, obviously, measurably, there are certain, like Monaco, that was one fuck up for Charles there. Mm-hmm. Brazil. What? Intermediates. There were other fuck-ups as well.
I think Hungary counts as at least
Monaco,
three.
Tom, I think you've been very kind to Scuderia Ferrari already. One fuck-up at Monaco. Behave. Do you remember they were telling Charles to stay out when he was halfway in the pits already? What are we doing?
How many were counting that as then,
oh, mate,
Monaco?
It was a good few, eh? There was a good few.
But do we think now Vasseur is in charge, do we think Ferrari are going to pull their fingers out and make less blunders from a team point of view in 23?
The thing is, you've still got the same people working where they were. You've still got the same structure. Obviously, yeah, you've got a different team principal. But I feel like Mattia Bonotto was a little bit of a scapegoat at times.
Absolutely.
I don't, you know, there's maybe question marks over his leadership capabilities or whatever. But you've got a whole team of strategists of this and that who were also making terrible decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Vasseur isn't going to call, or Fred Vasseur.
We're
going
European today.
Frederic Vasseur. It's not gonna decide the strategies mid race. Do you know what I'm saying?
True. But will he bring his own people in?
It's a good question, Tommy. You would hope so if you're a Scuderia Ferrari fan, eh? But we'll turn the question back round on you for a second, Tommy. How could they make more mistakes than they made in 2020?
Do numbers go that high?
Mate, numbers do not go that high. They don't go that high. It was ridiculous last season, Tomo. And I think they've given themselves, at the very least, a platform numerically to do better than they did last season. How can they not, Tomo? It was ridiculous.
They can't possibly make more strategic, calculated team errors, surely. Surely.
Strategic.
Surely this has to be a less. They will make less.
I didn't even think they were making that. I mean, again, obviously there's like more of a...
Niren, finish your sentence.
Yeah.
You don't think they made many mistakes?
No, not in 2022.
It's okay.
Not in 2022. I mean in 2021.
Oh, fine.
I didn't think they were even making that many in 2021.
Yeah, but they weren't fighting at the front.
That's what I was about to say, but there wasn't that microscope on them, I guess. So I think there's potential to make less than the 57 they made last year. Because I don't think they were making that many in seasons before.
The thing is, the Ferrari clown memes predate 2022.
They do. I'm wrong. No, they do.
That's the thing.
2017 times.
That's my concern.
Know.
But I guess it's how quickly you'd like to think with that kind of decision making and having the right people doing the right thing or having the right processes in place that's something that Fred can come in and change quite quickly relative to other things.
Tomo, I think the issue here is that there are... If Scuderia Ferrari is a pail of water, there are a very many holes in that pail of water. How many balls can you juggle at once? He's got to nail operations. He's got to nail the strategy. He's got to get the driver hierarchy right. He's got to have Banco Santander online and not piss off Carlos Sainz. There are so many balls that you need to juggle.
You know that pail of water thing, and there's like the guy where there's like a stream of water coming out of this glass and he just slaps a pasta on. Slaps the tape on.
That's Fred.
That's Fred right now.
Mate.
But like 17 different holes that you've got.
There's a lot in there to do. I hope Fred can do it because we all want to see a competitive season next year, right? And Ferrari could facilitate that if they sort that. But it is a very many holes of in that pail that they need to plug. That's the issue.
It's a sieve, mate. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But listen, the car's in a good place. I'm confident that Ferrari will not fuck up more in 2023 than they did in 2022.
Yeah, I agree because my logic is that they can't physically do more than they did last year.
They would have to try.
Yeah.
Even then.
But you know what it is? I think if they tried to fuck up more, it counterbalance. I think they would
so incompetent.
Yeah.
That sounds very Ferrari.
Yeah.
That
sounds.
If they tried to mess up, they would mess up messing up and therefore do the right thing.
Double negative. There
if anyone's... Yeah, this is maths. Minus is plus. If anyone's watching from a Ferrari, just try and fuck it.
Mate.
You'd have been a great maths teacher.
Honestly, hire me.
Just get the basics right. Yeah. Don't talk to Carlos Sainz when he's in wheel-to-wheel combat, as an example. Get the basics right. And here's Fred can nail that.
Get the tyres ready before the guy comes in, sort of.
Don't tell him to stay out when he's already...
When he's already in the pit lane, yeah.
Is it just... Didn't Alfa Romeo also have their fair share of fuck-ups, or am I just...
A few, mate, but not on the same level. Not comparable. In terms of the number and
but again, when you're fighting for wins and you're at the front, there is going to be more scrutiny. So
yeah, it's
no one's really paying attention to the nitty gritty of the strategy.
The only thing I'm saying is I don't think Alfa Romeo was it wasn't the tightest kind of ship when it comes to strategy. I think there were numerous instances where they didn't quite get it right. But again, not to the extent of Ferrari.
Not as visible, mate. Not telling their drivers to go out on... bloody Inter when it's full wet at Brazil, as an example. But
no,
I digress.
That's fair. All right. So we all agree Ferrari won't fuck up more in 2023 than 2022.
They physically can't.
Next category. What's going to be the best and worst livery in 2023? Obviously, we don't know what the cars are going to look like necessarily, but obviously we've got a good idea from what we saw this year.
What's
and how they look on the new cars.
Well, what's everyone's favourite and least favourite livery of this season?
Yeah, because I think as the season progresses, you kind of, you know, your perspective changes maybe a little bit on certain ones. I think the Ferrari's the best still. I thought the Alfa was the best, but actually I think the Ferrari's...
I remember you said Alfa at the start of the season. Yeah. I think the Ferrari's still nice, even if you are seeing it in a blaze of flame at Austria.
Makes it look even better, man.
You think?
Everything looks better when it's on fire.
I think it genuinely looked better then as well, yeah.
Come on.
Sick looking car.
That was great. It really contrasted the red of the paint really well.
Yeah, no, that was quality.
The loves, or whatever you call those things.
Oh, it's yeah. But also a lot of the liveries changed over the course of the season. So Williams stripped off loads of paint, so theirs was a lot more like blank carbon fiber.
Which I preferred, mate. A bit of matte black and fiber, very sexy, but no.
The Haas obviously changed with Urquhart coming out. So what we thinking for, because I tell you the one team I have no confidence in from a livery point of view, and we've talked about this before, is Williams.
Oh, mate.
Absolutely none. Absolutely no confidence.
It feels like they have about 50 people designing the livery and everyone's got their own little section. And it's just so disjointed.
Yeah. Oh, Tomo. I tell you what, it's not helped by the fact that it's so bloody slow. I guarantee you, mate, if they were winning races and putting that P1, P2, all of a sudden the same livery would look a lot sexier. I promise it's you, mate.
You know what I quite liked? The one livery they've had recently, it was like when it was just like mainly white with a bit of light blue and a bit of black. I think they changed it halfway through the season.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it looked like Aqua
it was meant to be Rocket sponsored, I think, again. But I think, then Rocket pulled out. Yeah,
the toothpaste Sofina one. Or something.
Sofina, which is
so
like.
So it looked like toothpaste originally, but then they changed it and it looked really nice. But the one this year, it looks like, what I always say is it looks like a default livery you'd get on the F1 game from the start.
God, that's so hard.
Like level 4, like livery that you, if you play like 4 races, boom, you've unlocked
it's like a mid-range livery you unlock. It's like a mid-level Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's just forgettable. It's a war turtle.
That's for me out here.
You get it for like online, you're like, I might use that. You never use it. Like never.
So yeah, for 23, I've got no confidence in the Williams, personally. What about you two? In terms of like no confidence going into next year?
Neither from an aesthetic livery perspective or a performance perspective now that Capito's left. I mean, come on. I just don't rate it. But to my point though, Haas I hated at the start of the season. But as soon as K-Mag drops it on pole, all of a sudden, doesn't look like a bad car. Now you shouted them out at the start of the season, the white and the aqua fresh red and blue. It doesn't look bad all of a sudden. So I wouldn't be surprised if Haas put together a decent aesthetic as far as their livery for 2020.
Yeah. You know what it is? If Williams came to the table with just a Duracell battery livery, so like a little bit of orange at the front,
John black player at
the
special.
If they just brought a double A battery to the table, I think that would be all right, honestly. That would be good.
And then Alex's helmet design would be like the Duracell bunny.
Yeah.
Oh,
like the ears.
God. Oh, my God. Actual ears coming up as well.
Lando's got his basketball helmet, his Halo helmet.
Yeah, exactly.
Mate, best helmet of the year, that.
Bang, yeah, thousand.
So incredible. Bang, absolutely. What about... I'm trying to think. I mean, Aston Martin's was very good. They've got a very good colour palette.
Think Aston Martin might bring but then
bring some fire in 23.
I feel like they could, but also then I feel like they might just like leave it the same. I don't know. I don't mind if they leave it the same. It looks nice this season.
How much are they going to change? Just bloody green with a couple different. What can they do? Looks very sexy though. Still,
It's true. Do we think many of them are going to change?
That's a
good point actually. Do we think many are going to change that much? Because I guess there's an argument to be made that, so you look at, I don't know, the McLaren of the early 90s, late 80s, and it's like that Marlboro livery was the same year after year after year, and that made it iconic. And that's why, you know, we never see much of a departure from Red Bull. They've made their livery quite iconic. Mercedes in more recent years, I know they had the all-black livery, obviously, but that kind of fundamental silver with the Petronas swoosh along the side, that's fundamentally stayed the same. So in terms of big change, it's like McLaren I expect to stay quite similar.
Because
they've already rolled out their Formula E livery, which is very similar to their current F1 livery.
It's all about branding these days now, isn't it? And if you can keep a strong brand for like a few, you know, 5-10 years or whatever.
This is what I mean. I think Williams don't have that identifiable...
Their liveries have been completely different over like the last 4 years.
Yeah. They don't have a brand identity. As far as their aesthetic, I agree with you, mate. But again, maybe they start winning some races or getting some points and that comes to the fore. It all looks different now.
Well, there was many banging liveries back in the 90s like that. MTV purple one, that's sick. And because it was...
Orange arrows. Bring orange arrows.
So, I mean, you need to... Like, they're not as memorable as the McLaren, as the Williams, as like all of these, or the Benetton or whatever, because they weren't at the front, like you say. If they're not at the front and doing bits, then... They kind of
bring back Jaguar as well. Elite liveries. You know, the early 2000s had the best liveries.
Yeah.
Easy. Facts.
What is the best livery ever? I know you'd have done a video on this. Got to be the MP4.
Ugh,
the marble.
You can't ask a man like me a question like that,
It's early in the morning.
Yeah. You know what? So of more recent times, I think the Toro Rosso was...
The blue one.
Sexy.
Gold, with the reds.
Yeah.
Metallic.
And the silver.
Blue and the red. Iconic. That's... I'll be interested to see AlphaTauri, actually.
Do you reckon they'll flip it back again?
That's what I mean. They just
they have the white, the and then they just invert
I,
it.
I didn't mind the latest one. You know, the white and the blue looked. It grew on me. It grew on me.
I just thought the car looked a bit chunky, almost like along with the livery.
Oh, but Niren, you're talking like about a fridge. Different there. Right?
Yeah, like, no, I know. Yeah. It was just how they kind of merged.
So I think it looked a bit like a fridge.
It's so harsh. So
what like a dishwasher. Hey,
look, you get those like Smeg fridges, which are really nice. So
Harry Maguire said, you know. How dare you?
So what we say? What we saying? Stinker for 23. I'm Sam Williams, livery wise. Stinker.
Yeah,
well, what's the smelly one?
Disagree.
Is there any other teams that are?
Haas could bring something poor to the table as well.
No,
it's going to be Williams. It is going to be Williams realistically,
pick, mate.
Okay, and then banger.
Scuderia Ferrari, as always. Although, mate, I tell you what, Mercedes towards the latter stage of last season when it became fast. I really hated it at the start of the season, but
it did look better,
mate. Mm.
The by the end of the year.
The like winglets, like tinted with the Petronas Greek. Mate, it looked, from certain angles, certain light.
I'm sorry, sexy cars are fast cars. 2019 Mercedes, one of the best looking F1 cars.
Ever, I think.
Unreal.
Ever.
That livery, the setup, and it was rapid. The Ferrari, beautiful, rapid.
Wait, 2019, was that the black livery? Was that
no, that was one before that. So yeah, it was a silver that faded to the black.
So Mercedes always just looks like an evil villain. Mm, apart from this year, it looks like a
West McLaren.
Oh, that's a serious one. Man. Bring that back as well.
I can't. But yeah, the one year they don't deliver a banger.
Yeah, no.
Where the car just looks like a, I don't know, it doesn't look like an evil villain.
Doesn't. You know what my shout is actually? Alfa Romeo. I feel like they keep making these liveries that are like, almost like, oh my God, that is essential.
Yeah, we know it won't be Alfa for much longer. This is the last year of Alfa Romeo sponsorship. 2023.
Oh, what? So it becomes...
They pull out at the end of 23, again, mate. And then it's back to Sauber for 24, 25, and then Audi from 26.
Mazda.
We don't know, obviously, for 24, 25, whether Audi will get like a naming rights deal or maybe. So this is the last year of Alfa Romeo.
And I will tell you what, when Audi come in, that bloody dog... concept that they put together with the orange, it needs to look sicker than that, right? That Audi concept.
There's way too much paint on it for that to be. Mate. Do you not like?
It's just going to be another grey team again.
Can we stop this, please?
We had this like 10 years ago. Do you remember when Sauber was grey as well? I was like, lads, come on.
You know what annoys me is they'll like they'll release one of these like paint. You know the AlphaTauri like paint livery that they did for Miami, which was just on a show car. And Williams did a, like an American one with all the American. I was like, put that on the car.
Yeah.
And then they just do the
mate.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, no, because it draws eyeballs. Like this is why McLaren did the golf livery at Monaco because it drew eyeballs and people loved it. So they're gonna. I'm sure we'll get a few special editions this year.
Fingers crossed, mate. Maybe Alfa pull something out. I've just clocked actually why you like the Alfa livery. Denso Supra.
Yes.
Gran Turismo.
Yes.
That's why you. Yes.
It's like the old Toyota.
Yeah.
Kind of not quite as chaotic with the pattern, but
I just clucked it.
What, the Super GT one?
F1.
Oh right, F1 sorry,
with the white and the reds.
Yeah.
That's another absolute worldie.
Okay.
So yeah, I think best. I'm saying I'm also saying Ferrari.
All right,
revert to type.
Boring pick, mate.
Revert to type. Most unreliable car in 2023. Now
there's some contenders here. Should we run through the nominations?
Alpine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goes without saying. Fernando Alonso had 6 DNFs in 2022.
You have to understand, Fernando Alonso is not there anymore, so the car will magically get more reliable.
This happens very often to Fernando. This is true. This is true. Who else? Who else we've got honourable mention for?
I think Alfa Romeo have got to get a shout. Absolutely. Wang Yuzhou blew up multiple times last year.
Yeah,
and the low-hanging fruit pick again. I feel like this is a common theme. Scuderia Ferrari have to get a worthy mention for going up in flames.
Absolutely,
just dropping the ball, man.
I think they get a shout for unreliable team more than unreliable. I thought the car wasn't like quite. It wasn't too disastrous.
I think where Alpine were having so many instances, where like they had a what was it at Mexico? They had one of the pistons broke, which is like such a like old, like that never goes wrong in an F1 engine. That's like such an old school thing to happen. Like usually it's some like weird hydraulic like line that's
electrical faults.
No, the piston just broke,
mate. But. Standard. That yeah, Scuderia Ferrari, mate. I'm telling you.
But I was going to say as well. So in terms of engine specifically, teams are allowed to bring reliability related upgrades, not performance upgrades. So you should expect all the engines to be a little bit more, because it's in Ferrari's best interest. Why, you know, to make a howitzer of an engine that goes like the clappers, but sometimes breaks because you can engineer that out over the course
over
of
the next 3 years. Yeah, exactly.
But I'd argue, Tomo, it's more than just that, right? Because if you look at their maximal velocity, their straight line speed, as versus the Honda Red Bull power unit, whatever they're calling it these days, still an adverse delta, right? They were still slower. So it's not just, I think it's a bit of a misnomer that lots of aficionados are putting out there, that all they need to do is sort out their reliability.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that. It's more than that. That absolute pace just isn't there, or at least in the second half of the season, it wasn't there. And then, like Niren said, the race pace too, but I don't know, mate.
Yeah, because the Mercedes teams were pretty bulletproof.
Bulletproof,
in
mate.
Terms of reliability. Yeah. You had what, Lando, it was like the only McLaren DNF in Brazil towards the end
of
the year.
A bit concerned about the Williams because it's just got a battery on the top.
They've got no excuse for their errors to not be sick. You know what I mean? Like they should be clear in that regard. I'm just trying to think where else, because could Red Bull? I'm just thinking right. Once the battle gets tight at the front, I'm thinking it's going to be one of the top three teams, because if the battle at the front, if Mercedes do join that and make it a top three, there's more incentive for teams to push it a bit more and not go as, like, say when, you know, Max Verstappen's 30 seconds ahead, they can turn the engine down a little bit, they can save, you know, lift and coast a bit, calm. But when it's like balls to the wall at the front, I feel like the top three teams are the ones who are most likely to trip up from a reliability point of view. Mm-hmm. And in that case, I would probably, it's hard to not say Ferrari, maybe Red Bull as well. I would back Mercedes to be reliable. That's
well. Yeah, they've proven that last season, I think.
Yeah.
So.
But same point on Mercedes, right? Because they weren't... Were they balls to the wall for the most? But they were just like, for the most
true.
Part,
they didn't,
fourth and fifth.
They were in that uncanny valley most of the time, weren't they?
It's a brilliant point, though, on Red Bull, because we saw the first two races of last season.
Yep.
Yeah.
Again, when dialed up to 12, that they weren't bulletproof as far as reliability. I think that's a brilliant point, mate. And for the most part, who was challenging them last season, right? Max was out there dialing his engine down to 8 out of 10, if that's even a bloody scale. They weren't getting pushed, so I don't think we saw them either at maximum pace or at the tough end of their reliability, right? Because they just weren't pushed.
I do hear that. And if they're getting pushed next season, which hopefully they should be, you know, with Mercedes
be a different
bridging the gap a little bit, Ferrari hopefully ironing out some of the problems they've had.
I'm going to say Red Bull. So,
is it
go hard or go
home?
I'm saying
I like
Red Bull.
That from you. That's,
I'm saying Red Bull.
That's a balls to the wall shout.
Why not, man?
Scuderia Ferrari for me.
Yeah, and with all the information we've collated there about the top teams, I'm going to go with Alpine.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Can't hate that.
Well, no. So I have heard this is not substantiated, but I have heard like rumors that basically, and I'm sure I did see something related to this, that it was, you know, Ocon would drive that car. He wouldn't drive it to its extremes as much as Fernando would, in terms of, you know, RPM, in terms of, you know, shifts, in terms of like, which is why Ocon wouldn't get the ultimate performance from the car that Fernando would. But maybe part of why Alonso did blow up a little bit more, because he was just ragging the car, which I mean, he's got to be ragged, man. I'm sorry.
Standard for Fernie. He's going to extract that. Well, that's his gift, right?
He's
going to extract.
You can't ask him to be, drive at 95%.
Mate, he's going to extract every tenth out of every car, right? He's just, that's.
If the car can't handle it, that's not on him.
That's Fernie's MO. Always been it, man.
All right. This one's going to be good.
Let's go.
Most chaotic team pairing.
Oof.
So which pair of teammates are going to have the most loggerheads,
mate? It's a no-brainer.
No-brainer for you.
Do you reckon straight in?
No-brainer. Mercedes, George Russell, and Sir Lewis Hamilton. Look, exactly the point that we just made about Ferrari. If they are competing for a championship, listen, all these guys are going to get killed on Twitter for saying this, because everything's all pally-pally and flowers and peace and love.
Friends.
Yeah, they're all friends, of course. They don't want to kill each other, but we know who George Russell is, right?
Yeah.
Look at every time he's talking about the championship, look at his body language and listen to the words that are coming out of his mouth. Optimization. I want to win a championship. I'm not here to be anybody's second driver.
He's got that dog in him.
Mate, he's got that dog in him and he's got teeth and claws. He's not looking to play second driver to anybody. Just doesn't. It's not in his fabric nor his DNA. It's not who he is. Jack Aitken. They saw that overtaking GP2. He's Max Verstappen 2.0. Every bit as aggressive. Yeah. And it's all right when we're competing for fourth and fifth or whatever. But we're talking about drivers' championships. Mate, at some point, sadly, as a Sir Lewis Hamilton fan, those guys are going to come together on track.
And 100%. Up against Lewis, who's like completely
We almost had that Zandvoort, didn't we?
Yeah.
Zandvoort was close. Yeah. That was so close.
Mate. Yeah.
That's a few centimetres in a different direction.
That's a techie manoeuvre from Lewis as well. Like, you're not meant to... Do you know what I mean? Mate, I'm telling you, 100%, take this to the bank, hot take, last lap. Those guys... It is going to get techie between those guys at some point. Sadly, for me as a Sir Lewis Hamilton fan, but it's only a matter of time. Other story in F1 history, right? Mm. Let's be honest. If you have two drivers capable of winning a championship, Senna, Prost, Alonso and Sir Lewis Hamilton 07, like it always happens.
It's inevitable.
Right?
You can't have two number one drivers if you're fighting at the front. The only time Mercedes made it work was because their car was clear in 2014.
Right.
They didn't have to worry about anyone else.
Yeah.
On a long enough timeline, the survival rate always zero. Can't have two number one drivers in the car. And long term, it's a brilliant play from Toto Wolff. But in the short to medium term, I think they could be.
Yeah, right here, right now, it's going to be. Next, obviously, you know, you've got an immediate replacement for Lewis when he does decide to retire. Beautiful stuff. That's great. You know that. But yeah, for now.
This transitional period
Mate, could actually be crazy. I didn't think about that.
And how much patience can one man have? So Lewis Hamilton's he's burdened with all the development and the extra kilogram or whatever grams. Like, he has been super patient last season, right? Mate, he's a patron saint, but that patience can only last for so long. At some point, mate, inevitable.
There is no way, like, especially after 2022, that Lewis is gonna
he's not having that
be prepared for anything other than a car that can compete and perform.
Yeah, 1,000. Yeah,
not having it at all. Not having it. And even George, was it, do you remember like toward, I can't remember the race, maybe it was Brazil. Do you remember George was like, listen, anybody else, and I would have run him off there. Do you remember when Lewis hung him out to dry in the exit of like turn three?
Yes.
Yeah.
And George was like, anybody else, and I'm running them into the barrier. Mate, he's telling you everything you need to know. It's going to,
Lewis is going to become anybody else next season.
At some point, chaps, sadly.
Lewis has got the XNDA?
XNDA, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Diss track.
Drop some bars, man.
Drop some heat on George next season.
Mate.
I want to see an EP of disses on
that
George
would be
Russell.
Phenomenal. what do you reckon, Niren? Because there's a lot of
there's some honourable mentions here.
There's a lot of very good arguments.
Yeah. So we've got obviously the French connection at Alpine, Esteban Ocon and Pierre Gasly.
Allez les bleus.
Long running dislike of each other. I've just thought about the World Cup. It didn't come home. For anyone, just spoiler alert, it didn't come home.
Come on, Messi.
Come on, Messi.
Let's go. Echo.
I hear that. So you've got obviously the long-standing rivalry and dislike of each other there. You know, they've been posting like, oh yeah, we're friends again. They ain't friends.
BS.
They ain't friends. That was just like a little bit of PR.
Yeah, I think if their relationship has improved, I think them being teammates at a competitive team is going to quickly undo
all momentum and movement.
You can't have two number one, and they're both going to want to be number one.
Yeah. Ocon's been there for a while. Gasly is a household name who's been the top of the midfield, obviously not last season, but had been the top of the midfield for a little while.
Yeah.
His stock was extremely high before last season, maybe lowered a little bit, but not like that crazily. It's a good driver lineup and it's pretty even and equal as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think I'd lean towards Gasly if it came down to it, but it's going to be very close.
I don't know about that, you know, Niren. I think I've always rated Ocon.
Ocon's great as well.
I think he's got something.
Ocon has to beat Gasly.
I think he's got some.
Pressure's on.
I think he's a talented driver, Ocon. lap one of the last ones to beat Verstappen.
He took it to Fernando a number of times over the last 2 years.
Tomo, what's that saying? If you rate Alonso, what's that saying by extension?
It's true.
Mate.
I've just realised as well, do you remember all the little incidents that obviously Fernando and Ocon, I mean, I know it's Fernando Alonso. Mm. He has incidents with everybody. But the little squeeze at Budapest, and Fernando was like, I've never seen anyone defend like that. The incidents in
Zandvoort,
Brazil.
They had a Zandvoort exactly, squeeze as well.
Obviously, Alonso was involved, but so was Ocon. A lot of them came from like very, very aggressive defensive manoeuvres.
Yep.
Despite the fact that it was your teammate, there's then the long-standing sort of, yeah, we don't like each other sort of vibe as well. That could get crazy.
Yeah, it all went from, was it Ocon picked up Alonso after he won spun around in celebration?
Hungary.
How quickly, just how fast the night changes.
Yes, quite.
These guys will kill each other.
I think this is another honourable mention, one I'm interested to say, because I think on paper it should be a bit dodge, but I think their characters, it's easy to think that it won't be.
I think I know where you're going with it.
I'm just honourable mention, Norris Piastri.
I knew you were going to go there.
Because Lando obviously is going to want to do exactly what he did to Daniel, to Oscar, to establish himself, and he wants that McLaren to be the package to take him to a world championship, and hopefully it will be. But then obviously Piastri is coming in with all this pressure, all this expectation, all this drama that's unfolded around Alpine. He's coming into this seat. He's replacing his countryman who's got bodied by Norris, let's be real. And he's going to want to do everything to prove that he can make up for the shortfalls that Daniel had, and he can adapt to this package, which, being a younger driver, you know, a bit more malleable in terms of picking up the style of this weird McLaren.
Nailed it there.
Like, I think that they're both drivers with a huge amount to prove. Lando's not going to be, you talk about patience with Lewis. Lando, I think, now is in the position where he knows if he gets a race-winning car, he can, as much as he hasn't won a race, he knows he can hang there. He knows he can do it. He can do it.
I think, Tommy, you've nailed it there, the nuance of that, the technical difficulties that Danny Rick had driving that McLaren. It's a diva of a car, right? And I think ultimately the length of service, the experience that Lando's got will make that partnership less techie. I think Oscar's got a massive challenge ahead of him learning how to drive that McLaren. Yeah. Brand new in the sport, brand new in F1. Lando, of course, is no bloody slouch. I don't think that will be as techie just because Lando have a durable competitive advantage over Mr. Piastri. I don't think, not yet, at least, not next season.
Maybe further on in the future, once Piastri's got sort of like an idea
to learn how to drive the car
properly, and you see that proper pace come out of him. Because Piastri's a great driver as well. I mean, that's a sensational driver lineup.
Back to back,
he's sick. He's
championships.
Sick,
yeah, I mean,
he's
sick.
That's Leclerc Russell numbers.
Yeah. No, he is that type of driver. Mm. Like, he is that guy that, I mean, obviously, you've had varying successes of that sort of come up before. I mean, Van Dorn was just super unlucky in a terrible car. But as soon as you give someone the car that's good enough to show the skill they have in Formula One, you see like a Leclerc and a George Russell who just do champion come-ups through F4, GP3 and F2. It's mad.
It's
another level to come into a series and have a car that's unstable under braking. Mm. If you've ever raced any type of car ever and tried to brake and then you experience this instability, it is disconcerting, chaps. Mm-hmm. Trying to drive a car 10 tenths and unstable under braking. FFS, lads, that's tough to deal with, right, and overcome, especially if you're a rookie, notwithstanding the fact that Oscar's got pedigree. Because Lando's, it's techie, Tomo.
Lando's making it work, but also Lando's making noises that he's not fully happy with the car.
I also give another honourable mention.
Go on.
Fernando Alonso versus Lance Stroll.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Stealthy.
I
was going to mention.
That's good.
Because
that's good.
Lance is a man. He is a man. In fact, who can get involved in collisions.
He's been known to, yes. You're right.
Fernando is a man that does not enjoy being involved in collisions, especially with his teammate. And I feel that those two worlds could ironically collide.
Can I see you that, Niren, and raise you that Lance's dad is also fairly influential, I hear, at the team.
I hear.
And Fernando Alonso.
Rumour has it.
Word on the street.
In addition to that fact, Fernando Alonso isn't a dude who takes instruction from said authority figures well. Past is precedent. Just add those.
All I'll say is if that incident in Austin between Stroll and Alonso happens with any other driver, there is no way Alonso is essentially being like, it happens, wasn't really his fault. He knows full well that is his future teammate. And even more importantly, the son of his, the man who is going to be responsible potentially for giving him a championship winning car, his last opportunity.
It's like when you're young and you play football, like Sunday League or whatever, and there's the one Don who's not good, but he somehow plays left wing every week
because
his dad's the coach. You don't bring him up on that because his dad's the coach. You're getting left on the bench next week.
Do you remember yours growing up? The dad was Ian. The kid was Sean. That was
the dad.
I remember. Yeah, dropping names, sorry. Oh, it was true.
Someone was Kieran. He was okay, to be fair, but so he kind of allowed it. But yeah.
Oh yeah, I will tell you what, though, it'd be interesting to see. I'd love, as a part-time Fernando Alonso fan, to see them give him a car that's capable of winning races and championships. Because
we know he's at the level.
He is ridiculous, chap. Sack off the outcomes. Look at the processes last season. He was nailing it, doing all these crazy things, cleaning the grid to set up the overtake around Austria, around the outside, turn one Magnus. He's levels, lads, and it'd be a shame, a travesty.
He's thinking ahead.
Mate, he's 1,000 racing IQ.
Yeah. 100%. So, will that be the most chaotic team pair? Are you sticking to Hamilton, Russell, Cam?
I feel like it's more inevitable that Mercedes come together. It's been building, right? It's been bubbling for at least 12 months now. And at some point, God forbid, it upsets me to say it, those two are going to come together, potentially with Alonso and Lance. That will happen at some stage.
Yeah.
But if I'm a betting man and I'm betting my mortgage...
You're betting your mortgage,
mate,
on this one.
Mercedes, take it to the bank. Every single time. It's going to happen.
I'm going to go for Aston Martin. I agree in the sense that there is definitely going to be a coming together between George and Lewis. There's going to be tension there, especially if they're fighting over a championship. But I also feel that the different specific moments you're going to get out of Alonso and Stroll, you're going to get some ridiculous shit out of that, bro. You're going to get some stupid team radios. You're going to get incidents. You're going to get crazy interviews. You're going to just get mad shit because Lance Stroll's dad is such a high investor. It's just going to be crazy. So in terms of just like from a chaos perspective,
yep.
I see a lot of chaos coming from that.
Chaos, and that's the category. Ooh,
stealthy one, mate. Ferrari.
He was about to say
look at that.
My pick is Ferrari. We've not even mentioned him yet, but Ferrari, you've got Vasseur coming in, who's very close to Charles and arguably going to be pushing that Charles first driver narrative. You can be forgiven for thinking that. But then you've got Carlos's camp, which is very strong. You've got his, brother or cousin, whoever it is.
Who's Santander.
You've got Santander, big Estrella. Part of it. His dad's like knocks about the paddock a lot in terms of like Carlos Sainz Sr. He's got a lot of influence.
Spanish strategy.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
TJ still at Ferrari.
Listen, I think that, and also the fact that Carlos, I think, is close to Charles and will push Charles. We talk about like this year with Perez and Verstappen, for example. Perez, he's not close enough to Verstappen to really be a continual problem over the course of a season. I think Carlos is close enough to Charles. You forget, like, he outscored Charles. I don't think he outdrove Charles in 21, but he outscored him. And he was, like, I'm not being funny, if it wasn't for a few first lap bozo incidents, which some were his fault, some weren't.
Would have been very close to
Would have been closer to Charles in 22. So I'm actually going to say Ferrari. That's who I'm saying for most chaotic team pairing. And we're gonna leave it at that.
It's a good shout.
Not chaotic now, but most one-sided team pairing. Ooh. Who's going to violate their teammate?
Who's going to absolutely muller?
On track.
Max Verstappen.
Of course.
On track.
Just Max Verstappen is going to violate his teammate, as he has been doing. Going to violate his teammates. Sadly for the Mexican Minister of Defence, he just hasn't got pace enough, consistently enough around 26 tracks, has he?
Yeah.
For Max Verstappen, he just doesn't do it. Okay, so around the front, the rear limited tracks, even Singapore and Monaco, that favours Checo, so he might experience some success around there. But for the rest of them, Max Verstappen has just got him under manners. He'll violate him again. And let's not forget the help of the team. The team know which side their bread is buttered as far as Max and Checo. And so they're just going to give, they're going to develop the car for Max. They're going to give him every decision. He's not even going to give up sixth place at Brazil even.
I was fuming at that.
Mate. Sixth place, Max. Sixth.
That was clearly a statement.
Yeah.
That was clearly a statement for the team.
Why do you think he did? Was it Monaco? Is that true? Not facts, conjecture, speculation. Look,
it's alleged.
I think there's a lot that goes. What I think is interesting about Red Bull is there's clearly somewhat of a dynamic where you've got Red Bull Racing, which is obviously Christian Horner's top dog there, but then you've got Red Bull as the company that supports Max, and obviously that goes through Helmut, and obviously you've got, you know, Max has got his team, just like Charles has got his team, just like Carlos has got his team, and you know, I don't know how much of that is to do with a degree of, I don't think that can all be like with Mercedes, where it's just Toto Wolff and there's no different agendas.
Stakeholders.
I mean, I'm sure like Lewis has got his team, I guess, but it feels like, and George the same, but I don't know, it just feels a lot more cohesive, whereas you've got this clear figure of you've got Helmut and you've got Christian, who are like two kind of separate figures working for the same team, but also slightly have their own. It's like Helmut leaked the Ricciardo news, and then Christian was like, oh yeah, Helmut's just, I guess, yeah, Daniel Ricciardo is going to be our third driver. It's like, well, that wasn't meant to be announced, but yeah. So I can only think that it's maybe related to some kind of dynamic there, but I mean, your guess is good as mine, to be honest, mate.
To the original question, though, yes, it's going to be Red Bull. I can't think of another lineup, really, where someone's getting... Not, and it's no disrespect to Sergio at all, but I think, you know, Max knows how to extract the most out of that car more. Max is just an unreal driver. He's just come off the back of winning 15 races. I know there will be a bit more competition next season, or hopefully, from Ferrari and Mercedes, but I don't think that's going to stop him beating Sergio as consistently as he did last year. I don't see any difference or anything that's going to change that.
The only other pairing that comes to mind that I think, because I guess when we reflect on this, we'll look at like the percentage difference, I guess, or something.
Maybe Williams.
No, I'm thinking Aston Martin, actually. Alonso, Stroll.
Fernie, good shout, stealthy.
Just because he drives everything he gets into quick. And Stroll has improved, but he's still shown, like, in terms of his decision making, it can be very, very chaotic at times, and I think that's going to lose him points.
I know Fernando's a different beast at the moment, but Stroll did do an okay
job.
Been
better.
He did.
He's been getting better, right? Yeah. You make a good point.
If he'd been whitewashed against Seb, I'd be like, yeah, fair fucks. Mm. But
Stroll threw away points.
He did
on numerous occasions, which they finished level with Alfa Romeo in the constructors.
Chaos.
Exactly the same number of points. One more point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. Cost them a lot of money.
I've got another stealthy pick, mate, after all that we said. Ferrari. Potentially. Hear me out.
Well, Leclerc and Sainz.
So, I've heard it
No,
often.
Carlos over
So, look, I've heard it espoused fairly often that the driver to take Scuderia Ferrari forward is a hybrid of both Charles Leclerc's pace and Carlos Sainz's assertiveness and strategic decision-making, right? If you can take the latter and give that to Charles Leclerc with a bit of help from Frédéric Vasseur, Charles Leclerc will obliterate Carlos Sainz, in my humble opinion. Big if, big if. But if you can get that strategy, just be a bit more assertive, right? Mm-hmm. How is Charles Leclerc going out in Brazil on Inters? Surely there should be something in his mind saying, listen, common sense check, this might not be the right decision, chaps. What's Carlos going out on? Is he going out on wets? All right, then why don't you just put the wets on? So just a bit more common sense and assertiveness. If Charles can get that, cancel out the unforced errors, I think he'll...
The best drivers know when to make the call themselves and when to not listen to themselves and to listen to the team. Because sometimes the team has more information. And I always talk about this with Russia, with Lando, is that the team needed to tell Lando what to do in that instance, because you cannot expect a track as big as Sochi for Lando to know what the weather's like on the other side.
More rain is coming.
You have to lead, listen.
Yeah, you have to lead the...
And the team lent too much on Lando in that instance. And I think it's that dynamic is really important. I think that's why, you know... I'm trying to think of a driver that comes to mind that's done that really well.
Carlos, Monaco last year. Carlos, I'm not coming in. I'm not doing two stops.
Yeah.
I'm doing one, and I'm not doing inters. I'm switching straight onto dries. Carlos does it brilliantly. Yeah. It's sad that you can't mix and match the best traits on those two, but hopefully Charles will nail that in the upcoming season.
So what are we saying? Verstappen Perez? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to say Alonso Stroll. We'll see. Look, I hope Lance is still very young. He's very experienced in F1. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but he's still a little baby. Yeah. Okay, we're going to have a couple of most improved sections here. Maybe we'll clump these together.
Right.
So, most improved constructor, most improved driver.
Ooh, mate.
So, I think constructor wise, I have to say Aston Martin. Because I think the trajectory towards the end of the season, I think they're challenging now for best of the rest. If you look at their pace in the second half of the year.
In comparison to where they were at the first half. And that car was a bathtub at the start.
Yeah.
Bathtub.
And their new facility is coming. It's not going to be ready in January. It's going to be ready in like July, I think. But they've got, you know, Dan Fellows is like well on board now.
Fernando
in the team. They've got a lot of ex-Red Bull personnel who obviously, I guess, starting to find their feet somewhat. I think Aston Martin, you know, they finished P7 in the constructors. I think they'll be right up there. If Ocon and Gasly start, you know, colliding too much, and I don't know. I think Aston Martin are going to be a big jump up.
That's a big shout, mate. With Alonso at the helm, you would expect there to be a material upside.
Yeah.
Alonso is just ridiculous. But I feel like we've answered this question already, Tomo. How can Ferrari be any worse than they were last year? They have to be. If they just behave themselves and tick the most obvious boxes, how can they not be the most improved team?
Improvement. Yeah.
Well, listen, the Tifosi have been asking this question for what? 15 years. If they just behave themselves, but they can't seem to find a way to do it. What about any of the lower teams, like a Williams, like a Haas, AlphaTauri is a good shout, actually.
I think AlphaTauri is a good shout, but you kind of... also don't know what you're going to get with their driver lineup.
Yeah, I think the car will be better, but I think the car has
to be better. Like, there was such a big drop-off between 2021 and 2022. But I just... the biggest question mark for me of a driver lineup this year is AlphaTauri, because I don't know whether we're going to get like a Yuki Tsunoda that performs as if it's his third season, or whether Yuki Tsunoda's reached his ceiling.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to get out of Nick De Vries as well. Technically a very solid driver.
That could be quite chaotic.
It could be, but
just a tad.
Like trying to assert their authority.
Yeah.
Just a tad. You know, chaps, McLaren, stealthy pick as well.
Yeah.
I know they've lost Andreas, but with two drivers that can
be relatively
bang, two even-ish drivers, or at least, let me say this, I feel like Piastri can take the team on more than Danny Rick was doing, right? So again, if we're talking about material upsides as versus last year, then that I think they can improve
Daniel said this, didn't he? He was like, that quote, ignorance is bliss. And Piastri's coming in very ignorant, not in a bad way, but like he's not carrying it like years of F1 knowledge that Daniel Ricciardo was, he can jump into this car and more instinctively, hopefully,
get on top of his entrance point rather than Daniel having driven loads of
brand
amazing
new set
cars.
Of eyes in that sense. Absolutely.
So what are you going for in terms
I'm saying Aston Martin, most improved.
Ferrari. Sorry, lads.
Ferrari.
Saying Mercedes. Because off the back of being just kind of like in that middle bit, that middle sort of in between the top two teams and kind of just the rest, they're actually competing for a championship next season. And
mate, if they can provide the chaps with a decent set of wheels, that is. So it's a big if again, mate.
Yeah, it's a big if.
Zero pod again. That's what they're going for. Bloody
it's Nora. It's if and maybes. We're not doing absolutes.
What about most improved driver?
Ah,
because there's a big year for a lot of drivers. Big year for Yuki.
Just Yuki, to be honest. No, big year for Ocon, I guess, in terms of just like...
Big year for Checo, maybe, as well?
Checo, yeah.
Big year for Ocon,
Carlos.
Definitely. But who maybe let themselves down maybe in 2022 or just will continue to improve there? Because I think Gasly is a shout as well because he had a poor 22.
Yeah.
It's a good shout. I think there's an elephant in the room, chaps, though. Sir Lewis Hamilton. Mate, he doesn't often have consecutive seasons that are where he's underperformed in inverted commas.
Do you think he underperformed in 22?
Bloody Nora, Tomo. It's a good question. All right, 7-time champion, right? That's what we're benchmarking against. If you go back and watch 2007, this chap was... I still think he's the greatest that I've ever seen. He can steer chaps. So if that's the benchmark, if that is the benchmark, you've got to say that he underperformed. Lewis Hamilton at his highest peaks?
Yes.
Underperformed marginally at
worst. I'd agree with that.
Absolutely
Because his level is so high. The expectations are so high.
If other people had that season in that car, you'd be like,
exactly. If Pierre Gasly has a season like that, it's the best.
Like, oh, yeah, fair play, mate. Generally,
he doesn't make mistakes. And we saw loads. Okay, so the Magnussen coming together, that was Magnussen. The Alonso incident, there were a couple, right, of balls dropped. And I just think, I don't expect to see, so not two back-to-back. He doesn't miss very often. He's going to come with that fire next season. So most improved for me in that sense, Sir Lewis Hamilton, absolutely. Mate. Oh,
this most improved is a tough one, you know, actually, for this. Because there's a few drivers who underperformed last season, but I'm kind of expecting them to underperform again this season. Oof. I'm not expecting Yuki to just come out of the traps and go, boom, like absolutely unbelievable season. Even though I would love that. I love Yuki. Kwan Yu Zhou performed well anyway last season. So to take like a really massive step again would be kind of crazy. I think, Pierre is a shout. Lewis is a shout.
I'm thinking Gasly.
Yeah.
I get the car wasn't great. The AlphaTauri wasn't anywhere near as competitive of a package as it was in 2021. And he was unreal in 21. But I just think that also Yuki closed that gap up massively to Pierre in terms of pace anyway. Like if you look at the average race pace, average quali pace, there was very little in it. It was like 13.9 in head-to-head to Gasly. So I think as much as Yuki took a step forward, I think Pierre did take a bit of a step back. And maybe that was part of it in being a bit mentally checked out, especially when the Alpine, door was knocked. I would say Gasly.
You do like a Pierre, don't you?
I do.
Tommy, you're a big Pierre guy.
I rate him through.
I'm not sure I'm there with you, Tomo. I'm not seeing it. He's got potential.
Again, most improved.
A bang.
It's the delta between based where they were in 22 season, versus 23.
Yeah, I don't think there's a crazy amount of drivers.
That's a good shout.
If you got rid of 22 and you looked at 21, Gasly was unreal, and I think he'd struggle to hit those levels at a new team as well. But I think given he's going to a new team and given that the caveat around that, I think Gasly, most impressive.
And a stealthy shout, worthy mention, if you're talking in that sense, the delta between last year and this in points terms. Fernando Alonso, holy smokes, mate, he's going to smash it.
Doesn't start braking now that he's there.
Oh, yeah, can you imagine his car starts braking?
I would
mate,
probably
he's
gonna cry.
Wreck shop. Yeah, destroy.
That would be his luck, wouldn't it?
Burn down.
All right, well, I think we'll go with two more categories now.
Yeah.
These are the kind of more kind of binary. We just got to put our thoughts and feelings out there. Exactly. Yeah. We're going to go bottom five and we're going to go top five.
Drivers' Championship.
So let's start with bottom five.
Let's
start from the bottom.
Techie.
Now we're here.
now we're here. Oh, mate, the Williams guys. Sorry, Tomo. But Albon.
Right, who's P20?
Who's
P20? Don't put Albon.
No, it's not going to be Albon. he's had a disaster if it is. Because I don't think the Williams is going to be crazily uncompetitive.
I'm saying P20 Sergeant, P19 Albon. Especially after this whole Jos Capito FX leaving. And it's like they had a direction and they didn't see it through. And De Rilton are clearly not happy with, you know, the movements that happen. And it doesn't inspire faith in next year's car, because then that implies, okay, maybe the direction is the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And that's not going to change overnight.
Yeah.
I'm saying Sergeant Albon, because I think Williams is going to be a dog again.
Yeah, I know, I hear that.
Controversial take, Tommy, which you won't like at all. Have you got those fellas in the wrong order? Potentially, because there are aficionados that think Logan there are those out there. Some may say,
yeah, there are some strange people in the world, Cameron. Yeah, there are, mate. Yeah,
some may say that Logan could put Alex Undermanners in his first season.
Listen, I'm all for Logan, right? He was the driver I was rooting for in F2 last year. I think, you know, he pushed Piastri to the wire in F3. In 2020, that can't be forgotten.
Bad pedigree.
I think that asking him to come in and outperform Alex, who's got all this experience now, had this shocker of a time in Red Bull, which I think's made him a better driver now. You know, really good first year. Hard to really rate it because Latifi was so far off the back. But he's not beating Albon.
Alex has got a cheeky enforced error in his locker, though, as any time I still... In 2022, going into 2023. Just he kept not so much. That trend
not
is...
as much. He had a lot in his rookie year. He wrote off a lot of Toro Rossos. I remember China when he absolutely wiped it.
Absolutely,
into the
yeah.
Red Bull Bahrain. Into the
what well. I will say is, when you're fighting down at the back of the grid, all it takes is one mental race. Yeah.
That's true.
And fuck knows how many points you're getting.
That's true.
Could walk out of that could Spa happen, Francorchamps,
but there's no
points.
Way Sargent's outperforming Albon. I won't hear it. Right? Who's what are you two saying then? Come on, 2019.
I think 20th Sargent, 19th Albon.
I'd flip it round there, you know.
Fine. Go for it.
To Alex's credit, it's
fine.
To Alex's credit, at his best, he'll nail Logan, right? Tyre Whisperer settings, Australia last year. Incredible when he's ready. But again, I think not dissimilar to Charles Leclerc. He's got a cheeky enforced error in his locker still. And I think Logan could take advantage.
I'd be really surprised. I'll be honest. Just because I think Albon, I mean, it's hard to gauge because he was up against Latifi last season. But I think Albon put in enough really solid drives last year to indicate that, like, this coming season, fine, Logan might... just like by some, like not by a miracle, but like take advantage of a crazy race. Mm-hmm. But Albon has like consistently put himself in 11th, in 10th every now and again.
Four times he was P12.
Time, yeah.
He's not been bad, but you know what? That's right. Hot take.
16, 17, 18. This is where it's a bit more tricky.
18th, I'm going for a Haas because by jingo, those Haases were shit at the end of that season. I think that's continuing. Nico Hülkenberg. Love you, my G. Boom.
P18.
I'm saying 18. I'm saying P18. I don't think Haas is going to be great next season.
Disrespect.
I'm going to say, and not through a lack of improvement, but I think Zhou Guanyu, Alfa Romeo, I'm not, as much as the Seidel's coming in, I think the effect of Seidel won't be seen for a number of years.
Right.
And I've not, again, poor end to the year for Alfa Romeo.
Yeah, that.
Maybe they've got a banger of an upgrade waiting, but also that Ferrari engine in it as well, which may be a bit unreliable. So I'm going to say
Joe. Joe Gwen, you a good shout here, lads. I think you're disrespecting Joe a tad, you know?
Yeah, I hear that.
I think you're disrespecting
I think even
him.
If the car's shocking.
Just a tad.
I'm a big Gwen Yu Joe man.
Joe Gwen Yu.
All right.
He's sick.
I think it's more the team. I don't have the confidence in the team. They had such a good start to the year and they just couldn't maintain it.
You know, I think Niren's onto something here. As much as put some respect on Hülkenberg's name. like the most, one of the most unlucky drivers. I think his quality, if you look, check his pedigree, very similar to Piastri and Lewis, like nailing all the feeder form. He was sick, but never been on the podium, eh? I think I've got to put him.
Yeah, I think he's a quality driver, but just I always maintain, or I keep harping on about it.
Is it
harping?
Is it?
Shouts the harp, great instrument, but I just think after a while of inconsistent time in an F1 car, coupled with the Haas being terrible at the end of last season, I don't know, man. I think he'll have some solid races. Just because you're 18th doesn't mean you have a terrible season. But
I mean, you say that, but then consistency, K-Mag, similar like towards the end of last season, same car.
Grabbed a pole.
Brazilian pole, eh? Yeah. Not dissimilar, by the way, to Hülkenberg, same track, dropped it on pole, wet strewn quali. So
P18, Joe.
Hulk,
mate, as it burns me.
17.
Oof.
I'm saying...
It's getting techy now.
Tsunoda.
Really? Where was Tsunoda this season? That's a crazy question.
Down there somewhere. Not great. Didn't score many points at all. Tsunoda or De Vries? No, you know, I'm actually going to say De Vries. I'm going to say Tsunoda outscores De Vries. Cope. Okay. I think P17, De Vries. I'm going to say P17, De Vries, P16, Tsunoda.
Oh.
To wrap out my five.
Mate, I think K-Mag, you know, I reckon though, that Haas... I think he's getting him ahead.
I don't think they'll be bottom five.
Really?
Because they bought one upgrade all year. Now they're hitting the cost cap. They've got MoneyGram on. They're hitting the cost cap now.
And they do always start a season like unnecessarily well.
Yeah, they consolidated 22 and now I think they're going to be... Mate, and they've got loads of experience.
I think you give them too much credit, Tommy. Being honest.
We'll see.
Hot take.
We'll see.
I think you give them too much
like the golden oldies.
K-Mag.
I'm going to go 17... I'm going to go with an AlphaTauri, I think, for P17. I'm going to go with De Vries, though, because I have to back my guy with absolutely no actual reasoning whatsoever.
I love the leaning into bias there.
But then,
I have to, man.
Like, these predictions, you kind of got.
Sometimes you just got to do that, man. It's 17th at the end. Like, De Vries, 17th. I think he'll still have some good performance. I just don't think the AlphaTauri will be there in terms of pace.
Does that mean Tsunoda 16?
Tsunoda 16 as well.
Is he top three or what? Is he going to be in your top five?
He ain't. He's
16th. Okay. There we go. All right. That's our top five rounded out. Cam?
Bottom five.
I'm going top five reverse.
Imagine that was the top five.
I think, can you imagine? Bloody no reverse grid settings. I'm going, I think Tsunoda and then Nick. I think Nick will put, I've always rated Nick, you know?
Yeah.
And I think he might. I don't think Tsunoda will see which way he goes this season. Hot take again.
Okay. Interesting. All right. And then top five.
Oh, top five. We're not even doing it. I thought we were going the other way. Oh, here we go. Top the meat five. End of it.
We'll go fifth up.
Yeah.
Oh, titty now. That's even worse, actually. Fifth
one
place.
One of us is going to get it spot on.
One of us is. One of us
and
is.
And this will age incredibly.
Fifth.
And the other two.
I'm going to say.
We'll get it so wrong.
Oh, man. This is actually really tough, you know. I feel like I need to work out the whole top five in my head before I say what fifth is.
Shall I give you some context?
Go on.
So the bookies have, in reverse order, number five, any guesses?
Science?
Yeah. Nailed it. Look at that. Niren's
That's who I was going to go
not
with.
Not been checking. Yeah. Number four, guesses?
George?
Look at this.
Oi, I swear to
just
God,
come straight from Ladbrokes. Number three, bookies.
You better man, Aaron. Lewis. Seems like you are.
No, Charles.
Oh.
Then
Lewis. Then Max.
So those are the bookmakers.
So like. Sergio, not even top five, they're saying.
Top six. Number six. For context.
I've... Just because of the delta between him and Max, I've got to say Checo. Fifth.
Five.
Just because I think those three teams will be closer, and the fact that Checo's qualifying four or five tenths off of Max, everyone else is qualifying within a tenth of each other on average. I think that's going to be his
undoing.
So you
know what you've done there, mate. So you're putting Checo above. Is Science in your top five? So this is the dilemma, Tom.
That's the problem.
That's the issue.
Yeah, problem. Yeah,
because I think
you're gonna have to drop one of the Ferrari buds.
I think science.
Unless he's dropping a Mercedes.
Because I just don't have. I misplaced faith in Ferrari going into this year, and they've hurt me. So you know, I just think that science isn't going to be in it.
I'm saying.
Someone say Checo P5.
Oh, this is so difficult, you know. This is actually way more difficult than the bottom five. Bottom five was like, oh yeah, just chuck Hulkenberg in there. I'm going to go for Carlos Sainz.
Carlos Sainz P5.
Cam?
Sacking off Checo.
Am I?
Oh, Tomo. I want to disagree with you desperately, but I think you've nailed it. I think Checo. I think we might be putting some disrespect on Checo's name, you know, by having him so low. And particularly if we assume that they're going to roll forward the performance of that Red Bull car. RB18 is a rocket ship.
With 63% ATR.
I mean,
APR variable.
It's a sick car, man.
It is. They've got a great package. I think that's the only because of that delta. If Checo was closer to Max, then I'd feel more confident. But I just think, again, if it's going to be that competitive and with same points... And there's a lot of points knocking about these days as well, up to 26 a race. So it's like, I think that's why I'm saying Checo fifth.
Flipping.
Fuck the feds, I'm changing my mind. Sergio Perez instead of Carlos Sainz.
We've all aligned. We're all going to be wrong.
We're all going
to
be wrong.
You had a chance to be the one who was right.
This is true.
Yeah. Checo wins the championship.
You know what the risk in all this? We're assuming, big assumption, big if, that Mercedes are going to come with the heat for next
week.
We are.
That's the big assumption.
Well, okay, so here. P4 then.
I've gone, flip sake, this is so difficult.
I'm going Charles Leclerc.
Oh, wow. We're really disrespecting. You all got hurt by the Tifosi last season, innit? I'm going for...
Ferrari strategy team. That's who I was hurt by. I'm Charles Leclerc.
Go on, Niren, after you, mate.
Oh, this is actually pain. I'm going for...
That was a really weird noise.
Yeah, it was. I'm going for Sir Lewis Hamilton in P4.
Wow, that's a face.
That is. How and why, sir?
Because I'm really scared that George Russell's going to beat him next season. I think they are going to have a car that competes, and I think he's going to win races and definitely challenge for them regularly. But I'm concerned as a Lewis, I'm not a fan of anyone really, but as someone who admires Lewis and I've loved him since like growing up or whatever, that does make me a fan, doesn't it? But anyway, I do genuinely think George might be able to take it to him next season, especially if it's an explosive one.
George will definitely be able to take it to him.
Oh, I mean,
whether
he
beat him or not is another matter.
I mean, Mercedes had a chance to win a race this season and George took it.
But he did outscore Lewis in...
How dare you?
22. What are you saying, Cam?
I've got Shaw written down here, but as you guys are explaining, I don't trust Mercedes, chaps, to build a car. I just don't.
At all.
You've been hurt by Mercedes. That's
We've
the thing.
Been hurt.
I am mortally wounded.
But this is the team that delivered 6 of Lewis's 7 world championships. This is a team who know.
For what, Tommy?
Because they've
past
got the personnel.
They've proven an indicator.
And yes, they had an off 22, but they've proven that they've got the personnel, the understanding to bounce back from this.
Disagree. They've proven that they can get there and stay there. Bounce back ability is unproven for Mercedes in the turbo hybrid era. Disagree, Tomo. And with that, ladies and gents, I'm going George Russell. Screw it.
Yeah.
Changing.
All right. So I've gone Checo Leclerc, you've gone Checo Russell, and you've gone
Checo Lewis.
Checo Lewis.
Oh, that's so going to bite me in the
ass. Top three now.
I already know.
Top three, P3.
Leave comments. Hey, you know.
P3. P3, I'm going to say George Russell.
P3, I'm also going to say George Russell. I don't think George is going to beat Lewis by that much.
You know what? Guys, I'm going Charles.
And you just brought your pencil as well.
And go, wow.
I hope we heard
that. That's
a bad omen, isn't it?
I really hope we got ASMR on that one because that was a joke.
The timing. No, I'm going Charles. I'm going Charles. I think I can't put Lewis there. I can't put Lewis there. Contradicting massively, no car, but Lewis. But ultimately, Lewis, we've seen a two-tier championship. We saw it not last year, season before last. And when Mercedes did give Sir Lewis Hamilton the car, we saw Max and Lewis like 20 seconds down the road once again. So with that in mind, I can't put...
I hear it.
I can't put Lewis in there.
Top two then.
Truth be told, I'm just trying to cause controversy.
Top two.
Love it.
And has Esteban Ocon snuck into your...
behave yourself.
Right,
right, lads. Guan Yu Zhou.
I'm going Verstappen P2, Hamilton wins.
Goodness gracious me.
Chaos.
You are chaos. This is why you didn't get anything right, lads.
I literally got none. Not one right in my 21 and 22 predictions.
Why and how?
Mercedes will improve. I think George will be able to support Lewis more than Checo will be able to support Max at the front.
You've predicted for Hollywood, isn't it?
And I think that... If Christian Horner's to be believed, this extra 7% off their aero is going to cost them about 15 seconds a sector. Yeah. So,
got a question, mate.
That's what I'm saying.
Does George Russell take more points off of Sir Lewis Hamilton than he does take off of Max Verstappen?
No, I think George is... We've seen from 22 that in the right circumstances, George can take it to Max. George can elbows out that Bottas never could.
But you know what I mean?
With Max Verstappen.
I feel like when all said and done, he takes more points away from Lewis than he does.
I still think, both from Mercedes and from George's point of view, because I think he would be silly to not, I think that there will be a concerted effort from Mercedes to get Lewis that 8th World Championship. And I think that George will still, as much as I get it, he's going to put his elbows out and he's not afraid to fight, but I think when push comes to shove, he would be unwise to resist that too much.
It would
because
be
he's the future
PR
of that team. It would be bad
well.
For PR63, but also it would be, I just don't think it's in his best interest. I think when push comes, like he can fight with Max, and I think Mercedes will have the car to fight, and I think, yeah, I think the offset will favour Lewis, because I still think he's the... I think he was... This is what people get. I think Lewis was the better driver of the two in 22, but I think George was more impressed. I was more impressed with George because it was his first year at the team.
Yeah,
fair. But I think Lewis was... If you take names and experience and all that away, I think Lewis did slightly outperform George and he's still shown he's got the levels. And he's so motivated. He's going to be so motivated. Like, he's motivated enough. You know what I mean?
Mate, he's going to be on fire. I just can't get...
They're going to have to make a second Netflix documentary.
Oh, look, mate.
I'm just banging these out.
That's content. Imagine it goes down to Abu Dhabi again. Lewis wins his 8th championship.
No, 12, 21. No. Let's not.
They're not letting all the lap cars through again.
The last lap stream will pop off.
I will get 6.4 million views if that happens. I swear down. But
we're retiring early, boys.
What are you saying, Cameron?
I can't see... That package, RB19, is going to be very strong. Notwithstanding the wind tunnel penalties and whatever else, CFD. I can't see past Max Verstappen. I've got to go Lewis second as much. Look at me welling up as I'm saying it. Bloody God.
Yeah.
Listen, there's a couple of storylines here. F1 is a young man's game, first and foremost. Now, to your point, Tom, I'm not saying that Lewis is over the hill. By no means, but he's like 37, 38, and not very many people have ever won a championship at that age or older. Prost comes to mind, Mario Andretti.
Yeah.
He's another one. Mansell back in the day. There are, if you count them on one hand. Red Bull, just bloody quick as well, lads. Let's be honest. Adrian Newey settings. If you're an F1 driver, what car do you want to be in going into 2023, even with the penalties? The Adrian Newey car, surely. Then you've got Russell chaps. Then you've got a Max Verstappen in his pomp, 24, 25 years old, super difficult to overtake. Tomo, I went back and watched the bloody Brazil Grand Prix last year.
You make a good argument.
Brazil 2021, Lewis has a rapid car, right? They dialed new engine. Even with that pace advantage, the God-tier manoeuvre that Lewis had to pull on Max, set it up into turn one, then go on that to overtake that dude, man.
Even problems, more chaps. Recently, that first of all, that Red Bull is a bullet in a straight line.
mental the pace advantage that had over, for example, the Mercedes. Now, obviously, I know if the Mercedes are going to bring a car that can challenge for races, then obviously it would mean it would probably be quicker in a straight line. But fucking hell, George Russell had to pull out all the stops, and it took him about 7 laps attempts to get past Max Verstappen with DRS like right on the back of him.
Mate,
that Red Bull is crazy in a straight line. Just purely overtaking it will be nuts.
He's a problem. He's a problem. And it's Max Turn Verstappen. One Suzuka. You see that? You guys were streaming for that last year. How does he do this stuff, Tom O'Neill? Lap one, full tank of fuel, full beans round the outside on Charles Leclerc, no less.
Yeah.
Generation of drive. Okay, so he's a line stepper, guys. Absolutely, he's capable of a couple of F words over the radio. And like, he didn't cover himself in glory by any means in Brazil with Lewis. Like, he's capable of that. But bench that for a second. He's a generational talent, man. Tomo, Niren.
I don't good disagree.
I can't go anywhere but Max as well for the title, realistically.
Burns
coming
me.
Off the back of a 15, was it 15 or 16 win season?
It's 15 wins.
15, I mean, fucking hell, boys. Like, it's... The guy's nuts. And as for second, I haven't used Guan Yu Zhou yet. So
there we go. Top five.
Ferrari
done. Man like Joe.
It's Leclerc. Nice. No, for Leclerc.
Well, there we go. Predictions done for 2023. Mm. It's almost Christmas, boys. Feeling festive.
Mm.
Looking forward to the...
Chilling out, mate. Getting some rest. Spending some time with the family.
Yeah, man.
Being a daddy and a husband once in my life.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Come on, we love that. We love that.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We appreciate you taking the time, wherever you are, whether you're watching us on YouTube, listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
Yes.
What do they need to do, Niren?
Yeah, drop us a 5-star rating over on Spotify. Come on, it really helps us out. Make sure you do that if you enjoyed. As Thomas said, like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube.
And this man.
Cameron F1 indeed. On YouTube. Please, like, subscribe, all that good stuff.
Check him out.
That jazz.
Cam's channel is sick.
Oh, elite.
You do bits, mate.
You're too kind.
I am too kind. I'm far too kind. But it's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on, mate.
Don't be daft, mate. It's been a privilege.
Get well soon, Niren.
Thank you very much. Well. And you too.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah. Sick nights.
Hopefully before Christmas. Hopefully everyone enjoys their Christmas and their festivities. Hopefully next season is the gift.
It's going to back.
Keeps on giving.
I'm excited for 23.
Should be sick.
We'll see you there.
In a bit.
Ta-da.
See ya.
Adios.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.